You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, I'm Big J. Okerson.
And I'm Dan Soder.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Campers, hey, it's Black Lou. Welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. On Monday's show, things got tense in the studio as Jacob defended Grape Nut Cereal against a full-on assault from Jay and Dan.
I had a sleepover incident where I'd never heard of Grape Nuts, didn't know what they were. Sleeping over at a friend's house, saw Grape Nuts. I was like, this is going to be, so can't miss. It was, I think the friendship ended shortly after that.
Yeah, of course it should have. How do you
this
absorb?
This kid was having me eat concrete.
How do you absorb all the milk yet don't get any softer?
You don't get one push out.
It does.
No,
what?
You don't.
It does. You're talking to a guy who eats it in the morning. Like, that's my breakfast. I love it.
With some fruit in it?
No.
Just raw. You just raw dog Grape Nut?
Sugar?
No, I put almond milk. I like almond milk now.
Wait, so it's just
a little sugar, maybe?
No sugar. What? I'm not putting sugar in. No, I wouldn't.
So you just do Grape Nuts?
Did you just put sugar on like cornflakes, or do you always do sugary cereals? But you put sugar on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the bottom, there was like, you just drink sugar milk.
Yeah, just slosh around like sand.
Pick on your spoon.
That's like dessert.
Huh? Well, then why was I eating in the morning, asshole?
Yeah. Why were Cocoa Puffs made for before school?
Is it dessert? Well, then why the fuck am I eating in the morning?
Grape Nuts, you can eat bark if you can eat Grape Nuts.
It's like, he's right.
No.
Here's the thing. I've always enjoyed, I enjoy all the sugary cereals for sure. Like, if you're like, what's your favorite cereal of all of them? Like Peanut Butter Captain Crunch, I love, which is pretty white garbage, but I love
Loved
Peanut
it. Butter Captain I went Crunch. Through a love, I used to, I went through affairs with a lot of cereals.
It's probably my favorite thing of peanut butter is Peanut Butter Captain Crunch.
If you're saying gun to the head, one cereal, I know this isn't going to be that exciting, Cocoa Krispies.
That's odd, because what I would say, actually, my favorite cereal, if you're going by taste, is probably Cocoa Krispies.
Yeah.
Not Cocoa Krispies, Cocoa Pebbles.
Cocoa Pebbles. I can do Pebbles or Cocoa
Krispies. Rice Krispies too light to make it my favorite. But I like the density. I like the density of.
We're back again talking. We always, sometimes it's funny because we'll just come in and just immediately goes to, well, first off, we have a whole table of sugar in front of us. Mm-hmm. So that's how this went down.
I'm but Grape Nuts, up, dude.
Did you eat Grape Nuts as a child?
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Why? Did your dad not love you?
I had other cereals, but, you know, as an adult, I switched to just Grape Nuts. I always like Grape Nuts. If you leave it, let it sit for 2 minutes, it gets softer.
Why would I do? I have to walk away from a bowl of cereal?
Well, I'm telling you how to fix the.
But wait, let me say to you, Jacob, I'm a person who, look, my actual favorite cereal is, I can do like Total. Yeah. With like blueberries in it, you know, like put my own fruit. I swear to you.
Sassy mom.
I grew up like, I grew up eating a lot of cereal more like that.
Sure.
With my grandmother, you know, like she always had like healthier cereals and put fruit in it and Sweet and Low. But yeah, I grew up having like, so that's my cereal. And Grape Nuts is just horrible.
It is a punishment cereal.
Shredded Wheat is also for, you got to be a fucking monster to do that to yourself. What are you? Are you angry that you've done something wrong?
I would say,
I'd say
your husband starts eating Shredded Wheat, he's cheating on you. And that's the way he gets himself back every morning. He comes home and he has to eat a mouthful of muck.
I think we should
just scrub the crime out of his mouth.
I think we should feed it to terrorist prisoners. That's how you get them to talk.
Jacob, I think you stopped doing that to yourself.
It's not torture to me. I enjoy it.
You've made yourself think you enjoy it, but you don't. Well,
what should I eat?
Total Raisin Bran, bro.
All right, I'll try it.
Sugar Smacks.
I actually never had that.
Total Raisin Bran. Delicious.
Okay.
Have it. No sugar, no nothing.
Cocoa Puffs.
Don't listen to Dan. Dan's trying to lead you on a dark path.
Jacob.
I like Bran Flakes.
Jacob.
Also.
Cookie Crisps.
You like those?
Just get Bran Flakes. Take a handful of your own raisins, throw them in there.
Jacob.
Yeah?
I'll try.
Maybe
I'll
some blueberries. Get some fresh blueberries. Superfood,
like
dude.
The idea of the raisins.
How about this, Jacob?
How about this, Jacob? Raisins and blueberries, dude. It's not crazy.
No, I...
Jacob, fuck all that shit. Mix Captain Crunch peanut butter with Cocoa Puffs in
God,
one bag.
By the way, Reese's is already here.
I'm not saying
they tried it, but it's not the same.
I know I would enjoy every cereal you're talking about. I've had them, but mm-hmm. I'm just
When did you have them? What like conditioned you to Captain hate Crunk? These things so much?
Did Toucan Sam do something to you?
Yeah. No,
that's what I was going to say. Did you get raped by the Lucky Charms leprechaun?
Snap, Crackle, and Pop took their turns on me like a thumb cushion.
There's one charm he told me he forgot. The starfish.
Oh, Jacob, you're great.
And chocolate starfish.
Yeah.
Follow your nose. Tell anyone and I'll kill you, kid. You want to suck Toucan Sam's dick?
Yeah. I met him at a mall. He was there for us autograph signing.
Tricks are for gays.
Pete Corielli stopped by the studio on Tuesday and had a great conversation with the Bonfire hosts about getting high before a show and the weird quiet of driving home right after a set.
I'd rather drive home on a gig and get back to my bed. If it's in within 5 hours, I'll drive home.
Oh, 5 hours without a doubt. That's practically home. Practically home. But, you know,
like Syracuse, I always go home Saturday night after the last show for sure. Anything like that. Like, yeah, I think 5 hours and below.
But if you're driving yourself, it messes up the vibe of my show. Like, if I know I'm going to go back to the hotel, I still like to have a few pops, you know, so I'll have some beers and stuff, you know. But if I'm driving home, you know, you're getting a sterile show because I got a 5 hour drive after the show. And halfway through the second show, I could hit you with a punchline in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be on the road in 25 minutes.
Dude, that's so funny.
And that's bad, though, right? You're not supposed to be so committed.
Just traveling Pete Corielli energy. You're like, I don't know. This fucking
Do you smoke weed?
Not giving them your all because you got a 4 hour drive.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to save some for the road, folks.
That's absolutely. But do you smoke weed before you go on stage?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So that doesn't do it. See, for me,
that's all I need.
Alcohol's never been my fuel for stage, so weed would be the problem. I'll tell you what was hilarious. This Friday at the stand, just when by the time I got to my first show, whenever I just forgot to smoke weed before I went on stage the first time and realized it right before I went on stage. And it definitely affected my set. I felt like a little out of sorts.
Did you feel tight?
Not. Yes, usually when I go on stage, the first thing I say are two things. If it doesn't get like a big pop, because it's usually just something in the moment of what's happening, it doesn't get a pop. I just have that like, oh, I have more of like a knuckle crack. Like, yeah, here we go, dude. Let's get this crowd. Let's wake them up with some. Yeah. We'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to play that game. When that happens, when I'm not stoned, I was just like, I don't. Should I tell a joke right now? I don't know what to do. This is a weird feeling.
One time,
I'm too clear. So driving home still. The pot doesn't matter, but yeah, the booze. So if it's funny if it just dulls down your set. But I also feel like the last show, when you're driving home, no matter what, your feet are already pointed towards that door while you're doing the show. So you actually have, I have to focus to make sure I'm like not chintzing them. Like in Albany next week, I want to make sure I give them like a full-on show and not like wait to see the light and be like in the middle of your set, you know, middle of your show, you're like, so then I go to my friend's house and I go, you know what, guys, that's the light. I'm just going to jump up out of here.
Albany, you guys have been beautiful. Good night. I got to get out of here.
I would never do
that. Because also, there looks like it's a heavy storm moving in around 12:30, so we're going to fucking wrap this thing up.
Albany's also 3 hours, but when you get to one where it's like going to be like a Syracuse drive by yourself, you're like,
that's always a weird jump to think.
I got
to
get out of here.
It's a weird jump to think that like at one moment you're on stage, at a show making people laugh, and then they just fast forward an hour and it's just you silently breathing heavy through your nose driving home.
I know, right? I mean, you
it's like an hour before, you're like, bah! And you're like, this guy sucks a fucking dick, and like, ah! And then you just cut forward and you're like, dead quiet. I always think about that, how it's like
just that change of emotion.
Yeah,
it's not what they're expecting. They think you're out somewhere tearing it up.
Yeah.
Even like you guys must have played that one Rick's Brunson's in Minneapolis in the wall.
Yeah, we
so you know how you cut through the mall at the end of the night to get back to your hotel, which is a nice hotel, I got no problem.
It's great,
but there's an amusement park and it's closed by the time you're done, so you have a late show and you crush it and it's Saturday night and then you're walking through
Legoland. Yeah, closed Legoland,
the roller coaster. And you're like, I suck. What am I? You go from this high of like, I'm going to be doing theater soon. Oh, there's a roller coaster.
There's just like a fucking one child shoe just on the trail. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know what your guys' hotel regiments are like, but that's the whole thing with me. To me, that feeling hits me much more when you're like, because at this point, we're doing like, I don't do organized meet and greets really, but I mean, like, you know, you got to stay and meet people after the show, and I want to stay and meet people after the show, but it's such like an adoration fest, which is sweet and great, that is bizarre when later on you're like, I wonder if they have ice cream at that little shop by the front desk of this hotel. I'm going to walk down in socks. I'm going to smoke a cigarette outside in socks. And how many times I've been that, like just like a tank top and socks. and like a basketball short, standing outside smoking a cigarette, just looking slovenly with a hat on, and like people that came to the show were staying at that hotel.
They're coming
like,
back from the bar.
Hey, dude, fantastic tonight, man. Like,
She's still, a girl's still in her cocktail dress, and she's like, you're hilarious. You're like, thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good night, guys.
You gotta just lie, go, I already got pussy.
Yeah.
You made a comment about ice cream like 2 months ago on a show, and they're like, getting that late night ice cream you talked about.
You don't even
remember talking
go,
about it.
Or they say it to each other, they go, he's having his ice cream. You're like, fuck you guys. Fuck you. You don't know me. Fuck you. When I, the closest I can get back to the excitement of drinking, and this will just show you where I'm at in my life, is when I bring video games with me on the road, like my PlayStation, if I have weed at the end of the night, I'm like, guess who gets to stay up playing video games like he's 12. Oh, it's just really? Like, I look back to be like, yes.
That's your thing. That's your vice.
Yeah, because, I mean, it used to be like drinking. You just go out. And then you're just like, well, I wonder how shitty tomorrow is going to be.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, when I know there's snacks in the lobby and I got weed in the setup and I'm like, let's fucking go.
Are you go out after the show when you're in town?
No, never. My thing is, what I like to do, like now I'm writing on another show for Kevin James out on Long Island, and I give myself usually once a week in my hotel room, and I get excited during the day about it. I get a six-pack of Blue Moons, and then a tall boy, because usually I'm after my sixth moon, I want one more beer.
Yeah.
That's the dangerous way you
fuck,
get back
I know
in your
that
car.
Itch.
And I got my pad out, my weed, and I got, you know, the TV with no volume on, and I'm playing my Neil Young and all my old shit, you know? And it's like, yeah, you're your own best company, you know what I'm saying, man? And it's just a solo party, and that's the only way I like to go out now is like DJ Lou or a good friend, you know, other than that. I can't do the small talk with people at bars anymore. You know, it has to be good. It has to be a good time.
Yeah.
I said I started comedy young enough that I have like a fistful of bar hangs in my life. Like really just going to a bar and hang, uncomedy or comedy club related. Like, never. I never, like Joe Rose and me have talked about that a lot. He's like,
oh, you were never
don't
a
you ever
want
to just like go to like a corner bar? And I'm like, I've just been in comedy clubs since I was 19, and just like it seemed like it was a bar, and also lending to my insecurity, I'm like, and this bar, I'm somebody here.
Yeah.
Like, if we go over to whatever's tavern, like, I might fall into the background. I don't know if I'm a big personality.
Let me ask you a question. Like, even after this show, right, I'm looking forward to, I'm doing something with Lou a little later on, I'm going to find a nice little bar around the corner on it all by myself, sit down and get a cold beer. Like, do you ever do that?
No.
I miss that.
No, I've never done that.
You know what's weird, man?
Really?
Is when I think about drinking, I hit, what's today? The 2nd? On March 7th, it'll be 7 years not drinking. I always think dude. the one that doesn't get me is the party. Like, do you want to go to a party and drink?
Right. Yeah.
No, because I just have to drink just to stay there, because I would want to fucking leave. The one that makes me miss drinking is the thought of going into a shitty bar.
Yeah.
McCaffrey and Burke on 30th Avenue.
Yeah.
I look at that every time I get on the train, and I'm like, I know where that fucking slip up is.
Yeah.
Because it's just an old oaky bar. And I think it was because my dad was a bartender and I was around that as a kid. But that's like the place where I think of, like, if I'm gonna have a fucking beer and a room temperature shot of Jameson.
By yourself?
See, I knew that.
By myself.
I was going to say that before you said it. Yeah. You look like that. Geraldo used to be like that. You get a beer and a little something on the side.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I did that once because he did it and he's so freaking cool, you know?
Yeah, well, Nate, I used to talk Nate Bargatze into doing shots. And he'd be like, I don't do shots unless I hang out
with
you.
That's weird. I don't understand doing it any other way. Like, if we're going to have some drinks. I mean, I just don't like beer that much, but I understand having like the beer with a buddy, like just having a beer. But if it's like we're drinking, and if it's like, hey, you want to go out drinking, and the other person's just doing beers, I'm like, no. I mean, we gotta like at some point mix in like vodka. Like, are we gonna drink?
Oh, yeah, no. Listen, a shot here and there is fine. I do shots, but like I love to belly up, knock back a ton of beers, go out for my one hits. But I don't like.
You stay so goddamn thin, dude.
When guys start boozing though, and they get all fucked up, and you can't have a conversation, I'm out. That's nothing to me now. I like the bullshit, the convo, the laughs, the stories.
I felt like I was Chuck Liddell by the end of my drinking career, where like I was getting fucked up way easier back in the day. I could absorb a ton of damage.
Yeah.
Like we're Tucson days when I first moved here, coming up through the open mic scene, I would just get fucking bombed and be like, I'm fine. And everyone would be like, holy shit. And then by the end, it was like I was blacking out easier.
Oh,
I was getting sloppy.
Well, that's
peak. And then I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
As somebody who fun drinks and enjoys it, I mean, obviously there's always like you can go a little too far like on a given night sometimes. But for the most part, I was talking with Christine about this yesterday about like the governing of yourself. Like I just know, like when I last night when I drank, I had tequila soda at Skank's.
Yeah.
And then they brought me a second one.
Yeah.
They're doubles. She brought me a second one. I took two sips of the second one. And then when I looked up, you know, it was like everything was a little bit different than it was the second before. And I was like, well, that's it. I'm done. And that's it. And I had no problem.
Yeah.
But the rest of the show was hilarious and fun. I was just like, yeah, but if I have more, like, that's like, then I'm going to have like the, you know, slurring. And I don't want to get like that. So I just like stop it where it's fun. And I don't need to go. Do you have like your a tipping point where someone goes another beer and you go, no, you go ahead, dude, I'm good?
Yeah, no, I have like one full beer, one pint when I'm on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I love, one of my favorite parts of stand-up is in between shows to bullshit with comics. I don't care if you're an MC from Kansas.
Sure.
I just like it. I like to bullshit and tell the stories. So and then I'll have, you know, one or two on the second show. But as I get now, I have more and more people coming to see me as I get older. So it's like, when I was younger, it's like, whatever, you got your free ticket, you don't even know who the fuck I am. I'm just, half in the bag
slide,
on the late
show. You could slide out the back if you want to, but you
and it's
actually,
not on me, you don't even know who I am, you know? But now they're like, you know, when they tell you, you know how it is, right? Well, we got a hotel room, made a weekend out of it, you know, you can't be shit-faced, you know? So there's and I never let anyone, I tell them a long time ago, don't let them buy me, don't even give me, we're not going to do the fake water, it's not a shot, we're not doing any of that. Just say no, thank you.
Yeah. I'm thinking of me, if I wouldn't have quit drinking and all of the meet and greets I've done after shows, and just me hammered, like locking heads with foreheads with a guy, and being like, I fucking love you, man. And you listen to this fucking radio show. Because I didn't have a governor. Jay has a great governor. Jay can, like, drink. I've watched Jay be like, he gets silly, and you're like, oh, I think Jay's drunk. You know?
And then if somebody was like, do you want another shot? I go, well, no, like, the next one, I'm going to feel like sick to my stomach.
But you were pretty mature, even when you were young, man. You already carried yourself like a guy who's been around a long time, even when you first came up.
You're an old soul, Jay.
I'll tell you what it was, though, but not getting fucked up. I started smoking weed later in life, in my 20s, and then also not drinking much because circumstantially I always drove. So I said I was a lot of it.
Oh.
I drank not heavy with Christine, but like I drank, we were drinking at one point probably before she quit drinking, like probably 5 days a week we'd knock something back. You know?
I drank enough that moving to New York was partially sold on me because I could sell my car and not risk a DUI. That was part of the reason why I was like, well, that's way better than LA. You're like, I can go get fucked up. And then I came here and I was like, oh, the drinking is... It's like if you're an alcoholic and you move to New York, you're going to have a very tough time because it's always available. And you can just walk by a bar and just, it's fucking great for drinking hard. When I first started working in the cellar, one of my favorite stories about Pete was I was drinking at the bar and you were sitting at the table and I was like, Pete, do you want to go smoke a cigarette? And you go, yeah. And so I go back. This is right when I get past the cellar. So I'm fucking scared of everybody. And I'm at the bar having a beer. And then I'm like waiting, and I have the cigarette out, and I'm like, should I go ask him? You know, so I like wanted to go smoke the cigarette, and I'm like, I'll just like keep drinking my beer. And I'm like drinking my beer, and I put it down. I'm like, I'll probably go ask him. And I go over to the table. I go, hey, Pete, how about that cigarette? Like up like that, and you go, all right, I've had camping trips with less planning. Like that. And I go, all right. I just remember that. We just went outside and smoked and shot the shit, but I remember being like, I just remember sitting at the bar and being like, do I walk over right now? I should probably walk over right now. Like, cigarette. You think about how I could say it.
Hi, this is Jacob, and Wednesday was a shocker for everyone in the studio as Jay revealed the secret that DJ Lou has been hiding for years.
DJ Lou, who I believe has told us on weekends he's had gigs, DJing a wedding.
5 years, he said this.
Maybe a bar mitzvah. I don't know. But it's like parties.
Done very small, poor weddings and bar mitzvahs and christenings.
You didn't send it like that, though. You said you've done these things.
Yeah. I believe at one point you said it was for someone high ranking in the government.
We call you DJ Lou.
DJ Lou is not, you earned that.
Yes, we thought that you could do exactly what it is you're doing right this moment.
Yeah, and then just say a name and personalize it.
So I thought
it's for Brittany and Michael.
So I thought it'd be funny. I know Dan's going to be invited to my sister's wedding, and I was like, it would be funny if just like Lou's down. We thought about possibly taking the whole crew down and doing like a live from my sister's wedding day.
Sure,
which would be hilarious because DJ Lou. I said, I'll hire you. I'll pay you. Like legit, you're a wedding DJ to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah,
of knowing you. 4 days a week forever.
5 years.
5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, remember you said you were a wedding DJ?
What a way to incorporate two people you love together from different worlds.
My sister would think it's so. When I suggested the idea that, you should have DJ Lou DJ, she goes, oh my God, would he? I go, I absolutely, if he's available, I'm sure he would. He does. That's his job. He does. So I tell DJ Lou, he goes, man, absolutely, that is great. So a couple weeks ago, he comes to me a little nervous.
Sure.
Maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. And he goes, hey, with your sister's wedding, like, I don't know. And I'm glad we had this talk. Because he goes, were you here for this?
No.
Dan wasn't here?
No, but you've told me off air.
He goes, listen, the thing is, I'm not actually a DJ. I am more like an apprentice to a DJ. I go, excuse me?
Wait, so what do you mean? You got like...
He goes, the other guy is the DJ. I'm like the apprentice, which I've never even heard of this position.
When do you go through the challenge to become an actual DJ?
You're a red belt DJ?
You must go to Scratch Mountain and DJ a storm.
Only then, DJ a storm under a canopy.
Only then may you become a true DJ.
If those 17-year-old girls wearing panties and fur boots stop dancing, you'll never get your measure.
What is your party style? He's like, Drunken Lou. He's like, you've trained under the best. So weddings, bar mitzvahs.
He says, I'm the apprentice, which we'll dig into hard in a second.
Dude, he's a Padawan.
He's a prospect. Mm. He doesn't have the full patch yet.
Yeah, he's doing bottom rocker. He doesn't get top rocker yet.
So he says, I'm the apprentice. He goes, and I'm like, okay. So already right there, I did have a thing in me that's kind of like.
Just the fact that like he's like sitting there like, you all right, boss? He's like, I'm just thinking, does Sugar Ray every morning go into celebrate?
So when he says that, right away, I already have. I go, well, that's a little weird because my picture was DJ Lou's DJing the wedding. That's going to be awesome. I figured I'm going to hang with him the whole time.
Cold one in his hand, old Mets hat on, maybe a suit.
I figured I was going to kick it with him most of the time, like laughing about shit and talking about stuff for the show.
Looking like a guy that just sold his land to an oil company.
Having fun. So that's what I thought, but I was like, all right, well, he's there still, so I guess maybe he can even hang a little more and because he's not actually DJing, it turns out.
Yeah, he's just loading up the gun.
And then he goes,
he's just putting bullets in the fucking machine gun.
And he goes, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous too. He goes, well, I don't understand. He goes, I don't understand what they want. What do they want exactly? I go, a wedding DJ. He goes, but what do you mean? I mean, they want like show drops and all kinds of stuff, like show references. And I went, no, this isn't, no.
Don't want YMCA.
This is a bonfire event. They go, just how you DJ apprentice a wedding normally. Just do that thing.
Yeah.
There. I go, we're hiring you as like a DJ. The fun thing of it is that you are also a wedding DJ. We were under the impression. And now it's slightly different than you said, but you're there. And then he's like, oh, okay, good. I was nervous. And then a week later he goes, I'm not doing your sister's wedding.
Why? Did your master strike it down?
Yeah. Did he tell you he was your father?
Yeah. He goes, you turn against me in this wedding and there will be problems.
Strike me down.
And I, dude, what happened?
He said he didn't want to do it. He had too much going on in the month of October.
Now, you said he was nervous, Lou.
I also didn't use the word apprentice.
No, that's true. You did use nervous. You did not say, wait, I think you may have said apprentice. Assistant?
Assistant, I think.
You think that sounds better? That sounds like you should be wearing a skirt, dude. Apprentice seems like you're going to become him. Assistant seems like you're a college girl looking for a summer credit.
I'll give you one of the best weddings in New Jersey. This hot piece of ass is my assistant.
It's my assistant.
Mr. DJ, do you want your sandwich?
Yeah. You're the eye candy while he DJs?
He goes, well, of course. Oh, you dropped something. Lou, can you get it for our friend?
Lou, bend over and hand me my vinyl of YMCA.
Oh, looks like they need to play the chicken dance. Make your butt clap, Lou.
Lou, make your butt clap for the people. Lou, get out there and start the dancing. Is that what you do? Are you a party starter?
Do you live in a party starter?
Come on now. Get up, Grandma. You're not too old to boogie. He's got a headset mic on. I know you're not too old to boogie with me, are you?
He's got both of her arms.
Hi, I'm DJ Lou from the Bonfire Comedy Central Radio Series XM 95. I'm here to make you guys have the best experience of your life.
Good evening to the Witkowski and the Chongs coming together. Love.
Grandma Chong, Grandma Wachowski. Come on. We can do it. Left foot on one, two, three. Left foot. One, two, three.
Looks
right
like
foot.
This wedding is going to have a little bit of rhythm to it. Let's bring out the bridesmaids. Halfway through, he's just in the fucking bag, hammered. Oh, and he goes, dude. I'm going to probably take a stab at your sister. Come on.
Well, Jay, like, no surprise. A lot of fat people in your family.
Whoa. Woo-wee. Look at the line for that buffet. Dance floor empty. All the carbs being piled on like a fumble at the five.
I can't wait to see these pigs dive for a goddamn bouquet of flowers. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Lou.
Dude, the thought of Lou having one of those mics and then leaving it on when he's hammered and he's just talking to a lady that's going over. He goes, I'm pretty much the brains behind everything on the bonfire. I'll
What's
tell you
the
what.
Bonfire?
He goes, I'll tell you what. Suck me off in the closet. I get you a t-shirt.
I got him in the car.
I got him right in the car.
I got him in the car.
Yeah, I'm driving
She's
home.
Like, yeah. Goes, you're driving home? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm driving yeah. home.
She goes, did you
leave think it? This is drunk? You haven't seen me drunk. You haven't seen me drunk.
Did you leave it with valet? He goes,
so the Chong family was like, someone turned his microphone off.
Yeah, he's causing everyone to be upset.
DJ Lou, what's a DJ's assistant? What's your job, dude?
Party starter.
What is so that? Party starter. Oh, Hava Nikila, let's get that chair out here. Who's going up first? Let's do the horror.
Salads will be out in 10 minutes. Right now, you better get your butt to the dance floor.
DJ Assistant Lou. I can't call him DJ Lou anymore. He's not a DJ.
DJ Assistant Lou.
DJ Assistant Lou.
Wait,
does she doing that? I'm sorry. I missed it. Lou, you've been a DJ for... I don't know how many decades.
Not at all.
Are you still? No.
0 decades.
He's an assistant.
Well, when do you officially, like, how long do you have to train for?
What a crazy question to ask, right? How long do you have to not have the patch Jacob. Of the motorcycle club?
Yes. Jacob, the question is, how long does rain take to form?
Hang on. You're terrified of DJing.
I'm not terrified. I
Do you have
to
two
DJ.
Turntables?
No, I don't have any equipment. That's why I'm the only assistant.
You're a DJ with no equipment?
I'm like, not really a DJ.
I would have sworn to God that you have turntables at your house and a mixer.
And he goes, and there's
Who's
a bunch
a prospect. He's still a
He's
prospect.
Still a prospect. Yeah. But DJ you're a prospect. But you don't even have a bike.
Yeah, he just shows up.
You don't even have a starter bike.
He goes, prospect, you need a ride? Need a ride to the gig?
He's got a record player.
Why don't you go give me some tall boys and come back with a pack of smokes for me?
I think, dude,
I'll be halfway through the Macarena if you can hang.
I think on a big, big birthday treat for Lou one day, me and Dan might have to go halves on just getting you the CD turntables, dude.
I'll go get you
out there, man.
I'll get you a big ass. We'll go get you a fucking setup.
I promise you, we could open the phone lines up and everyone would call in and say, everyone believes that you were a DJ.
Well, I'm a radio DJ.
What?
I'm not a real DJ. I'm not a real DJ, right?
Yeah, you are.
You're not a DJ.
I'm not a DJ.
He's not a DJ.
Are you a DJ in your heart?
Best motherfucking apprentice out there, though.
Goddamn right you are.
No, it sounds like you're a horrible apprentice, but you're fantastic at this. You're so good at this. The best in the world, I'd argue.
Who can teach you anything? Dude? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Also, I think it's just you're not doing it.
That better be clean.
That's clean.
Okay. And number two. Great point. Who's it? This guy's like, anyways, this is how you fade in. And Lou's
what
like,
I mean. It's
Lou's,
crazy.
Lou's smoking a cigarette, watching everything get set up. He goes, yeah, I got it.
You have to have picked something up.
What do you mean? Picked up knowledge?
Yeah, you could just do it.
I can just do it. I just don't want to do it. I don't have equipment. I'd rather be the apprentice, so there's no pressure on me.
Why you just not go?
I kind of get that.
What, do you love going to weddings?
Because people want me to be a DJ. I don't want to be one.
I'm sorry, I love love.
So
guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty is charged for love and love.
Well, because people want you to do it. So they ask you to do a gig, and then you middleman a DJ so you can go to the wedding.
Yes.
That's so funny. He goes, he's like a madam. He goes, what kind do you want? You want techno? You want rock? What do you want? I got a whole stable of fellas.
Is this what you go through to not have to find a date for a wedding?
I just like weddings.
You just say, I'm here with the DJ.
Sorry, I'm just here with the DJs. What's up with your guys' finger foods?
Hey, Mr. DJ's assistant, you can get me started.
Does he let you, like...
Fuck so, yeah, he does.
Does he let you train, like, when people come up and ask for a song, he lets you handle that? He tells you how to talk to them and all that?
He watches him.
Does he ever throw
And then he's got a, he's got a long bamboo stick that he slaps when Lou does something wrong, like a kung fu movie. But they go, excuse me, do you guys have any, like, Britney Spears? And he goes, oh, I don't think so. You always say yes, even when the answer is no. All right.
Lou, what's the name of your sensei?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah, why would we get him more work? He's afraid of it. Yeah, why plug his business? He's terrified to do the job that he's got a fucking business card for.
You got
to
lull him out of a hole like a groundhog.
Do you call him master?
Yeah.
Two nervous guys DJ service.
He goes, Lou, what is best in life? He's like, to have your enemy in a mambo line. To watch the hors d'oeuvres crushed in front of you and to hear the lamentations of their women.
John from Dan and John's Wings catered Black Lou's birthday party in the studio on Wednesday. This opened up a discussion about some interesting hot sauces on the market.
Yeah, there was a place called Wings to Go in Philly that had like the release. You had to sign a release to eat one of them. I think it was like suicide sauce or something. You're like, why? It was, I think it was suicide was the second. I think homicide.
I like that they're named after bad things.
Yeah. Death grip.
Growing up unloved. You go, whoa, that one's psychological.
Yeah. Losing a parent young.
Can I do a dozen of the compared to my brothers? Those are pretty hot, right? Those are pretty spicy. Okay. And then also I'm going to do, let me do half a dozen of lost a child.
Yeah.
Those seem like those might be.
Let me get some too fat to be gays. And,
I think that's going to do the order. Oh, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? It's my birthday. Let me do a half a dozen of the attracted to children. Is that right? You
know, dude, it's pedophile.
We don't serve pedophiles.
No pedophile sauce?
He goes, those things don't even have skin on them. You go, oh.
He goes, you want to fuck a kid? Eat this. I deserve it. It doesn't even taste good. I deserve it. It's pure fire.
You guys want genocide? You go, that's a little much. I don't know if I'd put that up there. It's the wings that don't exist. The genocide? Can I get an order of genocide? It never happened.
What are you talking about? I got you.
It'll be down there. Your number's 93.
What do I owe you? Never happened, man.
Never happened. Yeah, what are you talking about? It's gonna be hot though.
Did you hear Wings to Go are Holocaust deniers? Well, they don't say it; they like suggest it.
It didn't happen.
They don't just say what didn't happen. What did happen? Disorder. Why do you keep winking?
Can you name your wings like that? Can I?
We have a couple of off menu. Really, you got to sign the waiver for
Dick
them.
Punch.
Yeah. They're called the Widowmaker.
Oh, dude, I love those. They go, ooh. They go, can I get an order of the crippling debt? You go, yeah, it's pretty good. You're gonna need a cosign. All right.
You have a guarantor to eat this wing?
Yeah, what do you got?
They bring it out. They have to take a case off of it. Yeah. There it is.
You go, fuck, okay, that's
Been dry aging for years.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Black Lou again. If you've ever wondered what it's like to live a reverse Green Acres life, listen in as comedian Tracy Carnazzo explains leaving New York City for love in the mountains of West Virginia.
I met a guy that went to NYU. He was an actor, super hot. And he was like, when he graduated, he was like, you want to come live with me in West Virginia? And I was like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then I left very shortly after.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I lived in a mountain.
Really?
I literally lived in a 2,000-acre farm in a mountain. I was like, oh, I'm going to settle down in West Virginia in the hills.
What was it that made you leave? I mean, I know.
What, West Virginia?
Yeah.
Because we got in a fight one night, and we lived up on this mountain, and my car couldn't make it down the mountain, so I had to park down at his parents' house, which was lower on the mountain, and then he would drive his car up to our place. So we got in a fight one night, and I was like, I'm leaving, and he was like, where?
He's like, but you got a train to leave.
Yeah, and I was like, what do you mean where?
You gotta be Rambo to get out of here.
Yeah, and I just sat in the car and I just cried. And I was like, oh my God, I can't leave.
And then you did leave, though.
Yeah, eventually.
Shortly after?
Yeah, it was during the day, though.
It was when the harvest came.
I was like, oh, let's go visit my car.
Were you kidnapped, Tracy?
Everything's okay. I feel fine.
She was like, you know, and then the authorities came by and I made a sign to one of the cops. He took out the three guys.
We used to go.
Thank God he understood the signal, because it was just, I kept saying I was fine, but I was giving him like an eye twitch thing.
Yeah, I said, is there any more Wendy's? And he knew that there's no Wendy's in the county.
On Thursdays, we used to go get gas.
Yeah.
Did you trick yourself like a Love After Lockup girl for a second that it was quaint and
for
you kind of liked it?
I did it our entire relationship.
But I'm saying you were like, this is actually a cool way to live at first.
The whole time.
Like we're rural, we're
the
living
whole time.
Real life.
I was like,
I kinda love it. Get away.
He was a good looking guy.
Phones away. Oh, he's a hot West Virginia.
He was really good looking.
Here's the thing though, you dealt with inevitable white trash shape shifting.
Yeah.
Women deal with it in hunky men with six packs.
That's exactly what this
and
was.
Big dongs.
Big blue eyes, beautiful blonde hair. He was gorgeous.
Yeah, because fucking white trash guys always they either go fat or just mean. Because they work.
No, he was hot.
Just because they do some sort of a job.
He was
in
a lumberjack.
Life. Yeah, that's what it is. They're like weirdly in shape.
But if he would have stopped working, he would have got fat, pink skinned, and then mean.
No, he was mean already, but I didn't see it until we got to West Virginia, and then he started lumberjacking again.
Yeah, once he was in his natural habitat. Yes. And he was in New York where he couldn't be mean that same way.
We went to a cattle auction.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what was happening in my life. And I was looking around and it's just like the dirtiest farmers and they're covered in mud and they're just old and disgusting. No one has teeth.
Those are real people though. Why don't you watch your mouth?
I was looking around because I couldn't believe what happened to me. And he jabbed me in the ribs. He gave me a good elbow. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, you don't make eye contact with other men in front of me.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, okay. No, this is real.
This guy's pimp hand is strong.
Yeah, it was.
At a cattle auction you found this out?
He goes, also.
I feel like the signs were all there.
We're going to start doing threesomes with cows. He goes, what?
We bought two cows that day.
Hey.
Yeah.
We brought a cat. Home?
Yeah, we brought him home in the trailer behind the truck. We went to go buy a cow.
Tracy?
I'm 35.
Are you? You've lived like 17 lives.
I have lived a few lives.
She goes, do you guys know when I was there at Pearl Harbor?
You go, yeah. But she's like, no, you didn't know that's when I was a tornado chaser.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah, no, I got this amulet back in 1954. Yeah,
I named them Lara and Balka.
The cows.
Yeah, because they were both girls. It was a mother and the daughter.
So they were milking cows.
Yeah. They were, because they trade cows like they trade stock there.
I thought you were going to say slaves. No. And I was going to be very upset with you. It's almost Black Lou's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Lou.
We're on the eve.
He's going to be 35 also, but you can't tell because Black don't crack.
This is true. Mm. He doesn't look as weathered as I do.
He doesn't look a day over 20.
You could tell me Black Lou at 27, 28. I'd buy that a harp. Easy.
You think I look old?
No. I thought you looked very young. I said, how did you do all these things?
That. Yeah.
I would have thought you were in your 20s still, possibly.
Thank you.
I'm interested back with this West Virginia story.
Yeah.
He was an actor?
Yeah, he was an actor.
And then he went back to being
He had to go back
actor?
To West Virginia. His mother's in a wheelchair. His father was like 100 years old. You know, there's a lot of overalls involved. And so we went back.
What was your every day or every time that you would fuck and you'd come?
Yeah.
Explain to me the 2 minutes after that. What was your thought every day? Because you were clearly into this guy physically.
Yeah. I was like, I'm so lucky. He's so hot.
And then right when you come and you go, it's like, well, there's that moment where you just go, okay, dick's dick.
Right.
You can get dick anywhere. So like, what the fuck? And then and then he walks out to go get a drink with his fucking muscly ass I'm picturing.
Yeah, it was
like Patrick Swayze
buns.
In Roadhouse.
Ah, that's exactly
and then you're like,
what I was
and
thinking.
You're like, oh man, never mind. Yeah. He just doesn't even put on his underwear yet. He goes, I'm going to go grab a glass of water. He comes back in and his dick's still it's coming down still. So it just bounces like a gonzo nose. And he's just drinking the water. And you're like, nah, I could stay.
Something's going down his chin.
I love those cows. But we got them.
We didn't have a TV.
But but you roll over on his old Roy Rogers sheets to grab your phone on the creaky spring mattress.
The house was beautiful. It was a stone house that was hand-built by his great-great-grandfather. It was a beautiful house with a big porch. It was nice.
And it was just your house.
It was just me and him.
It's crazy.
Y'all had cable?
We didn't have TV. We only listened to the radio, and he would listen to country
shows?
Stations.
Oh, I was going to say, did he get into shows like The Shadow?
Little Orphan Annie?
Yeah. No, there's I mean, it was in the middle of a 2,000 acre farm. I don't know if you understand, we're in nothing.
Could you have made it? I feel this way about jail, ironically. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like you could have made it maybe another year? Was he good looking enough if you had television?
No, it was well water. There were a lot of spiders. I couldn't.
My ex-girlfriend was well water, and she was blonde. And then one day when one day when well water goes wacky on you, it can fuck your water. Her hair turned bright orange when rust gets into water.
Yeah,
and she washed her hair one time, and her hair was orange for 2 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and we used to have to hang out with his mom all the time, and she did not stop talking, and I had no clue what she was saying. God rest her soul.
did you ever think about putting her down?
I mean, eventually she got kind of...
Yeah, no, but you're like looking at her.
Did she beg you to?
No, I couldn't take it anymore, though.
Kill me!
Because he would go out and, like, you know, lumberjack on his own land. Because what they would do is they would cut the trees down and they would sell them to the coal mines. And that's how they made money. He had, like, a wood mill on his land.
What did this fucking guy do in NYU?
He made a documentary too.
But I don't even mean that. I'm saying,
how did he find his way to NYU?
Like, what was his nightlife like when that's what he goes right back to? That's a crazy change.
Yeah, you can't go from going to Tao and like partying
right.
I met him here.
Yeah. He was in a show that I was working on and I met him here and I was like, oh, he's so good looking. Like, he was like a club promoter. He was doing like all those college jobs.
Club promoter back to lumberjack?
Yeah, he was like doing all these college jobs. He was like, you know, doing some modeling. And then, like, boom, we're back at the woodmill.
Damn.
It was hard.
That is weird as shit to be like, hey.
I bet his dick hair was perfect. Nothing, those stragglers on the shaft.
Oh, yeah, none. I bet he had a little mustachio above it.
That's not the world I'm living in. You know what I'm talking about, DJ Lou? You got fucking shaft hairs.
Right on.
You speak it. I live it.
Take them right off, but they're there. When I see them, though, it bothers me.
Man, when you let them go in for a while, and you're like, how the hell did you get this high?
And you're like, oh my god,
on the bottom.
Never had to deal with like under my dickhead a little beard of hairs.
Yeah, I wonder if my girlfriend's had to play like guitar chords to block the hairs while she's sucking my dick, like
because it's literally like five hairs.
C A G.
It's just like a little. It's so weird.
Yeah, it happens. It does happen.
I know. You're talking to two men with penises
like
that it
way,
does.
But like all the way up to the top sometimes.
No, I'm telling you, I don't have, the bottom's not where I have the...
Yeah, but...
I'm saying at the top, under the head, where like the foreskin, where it would be, like would gather sort of.
Really?
Yeah, I'm cut kind of diagonal. It's above.
I have it down the back alley.
Yeah, mine's underneath.
Yeah, like hairs.
Under the head, but just like I mean, literally like five, you could like...
Yeah.
If they grow, that's
it's not a patch. It's like single hairs.
Oh, I've
like,
seen a full stripe, like a full mohawk.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Straight up and down the whole dick.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I couldn't believe it. I thought that it was, I kept trying to wipe it away.
Wait, Jacob was asking, you asked Tracy, how much does a cow cost?
It depends on the cow. I mean, there's an auction. There's
you
a whole,
fucking idiot.
You know, is the cow healthy? How much does it weigh? How old is it? It goes by pound. It is the craziest thing. I have pictures. I'm going to send them to you guys. It's terrifying.
How much did the cows you bought?
I think that maybe we spent $300 that day on the cow, but you have to take with the calf. And then the cow, we had to give him the medicine when they got home. They had to give him injections. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Fuck your boyfriend. Listen to the radio. Kill an old lady.
Yeah, listen to some Conway Twitty after your boyfriend blows your back out. Go down, talk to his crazy mom who's yelling at Stonewall.
His dad was no joke, I think, late 80s.
How long were you there for?
I was there for like a couple months, but I didn't make it as long. Like the plan was that he was going to go down there, make some money on the woodmill and, you know, set his parents up and see what they needed. And then we were going to come back to New York. And then we found out, unfortunately, he had gotten his ex-girlfriend pregnant.
What?
While he was home in West Virginia.
No, right before we left.
In New York?
Yeah.
So he had a pregnant girlfriend in New York when you were down in West Virginia with him?
Right,
right. Meanwhile, she gets to live in New York and you're fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid gets
to
shoveling fucking
moved back
couch
to, She moved back to California. It's like a whole big thing. And now he's like, you know...
Did the girlfriend have the baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a hot baby?
It's a half West Virginian, half Asian.
Whoa, yeah. Sexy. Yeah. Little home, little away. Yeah. Little rural, little city. Little Wuhan. Hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. East on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.